Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Who knew? Y'all.
Yeah,
man.
Oh. You didn't do a song this week.
No song this week.
We had a function at the house on Saturday.
What type of function?
We'll just get to the Brian Jones football phone calls.
Don't want to talk about the function.
No, because it's not a day like this is not the day to talk about the function.
All right. That means I agree with you.
Yeah, certainly. Right. It is college football phone call time. Time for you to talk to Brian Jones. When you're watching him on TV, you're probably saying, man, I wish I could call him up and talk to him. Well, now's your chance.
At 855- college football.
That's right. At 855-212-4CBS. We haven't even got to Chris Forrester yet. Man, I tell you, what a jam-packed day.
Woo!
Jam-packed day.
Speaking of being on the phone.
Yeah.
New meaning.
Yeah. Corey's in Alabama on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Corey?
Hey, how are y'all?
Good, Corey. What's going on, man?
Not much. I was just going to see if y'all thought that the top two teams in college football was Alabama and Georgia.
I'm going to still
go with Clemson.
Yeah, you can't leave them out.
Yeah, Georgia is definitely top five, man.
I love Georgia.
Excellent football. I like their defense a lot. I still believe there's some holes on the offense. If you can shut down that running game and put the onus on Fromm or Eason, it looks like it's going to be Fromm until something happens where it's not. I've yet to see him just take over a ball game, and that time is going to come in these bigger ball games.
All right, guys.
All right, Corey.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.
There goes Corey. As simple as that.
Simple.
How about I have a friend who's not a huge college football fan, and on Saturday he comes over, and the game he wants to watch Georgia. Out of all the teams, he's like, put on Georgia. He's that guy.
Oh, not big man.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, he's like, well, what's Georgia? He's like, I was like, wow, I like Georgia too.
Vanderbilt?
Yeah, but I was like, it wasn't like a huge game, of course. No. He expected Georgia to roll in that game. And he's like, yeah, just like them. I don't know. They're pretty good. I was like, wow, how about Georgia, man? It was massive deal.
Really? Georgia on his mind.
Make it all the way out to Long Island, Georgia. 855-212-4CBS. Join the party here. Couple of lines still available for you to ask some questions to Brian Jones. It's open phones with Brian Jones, 855-212-4227, as we talk some college football with TJ in Seattle on CBS Sports Radio. What's happening, TJ? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, my question for Brian was, do you think the Washington Huskies are for real? And what do they got to do to get a primetime game being the fifth-ranked team in the country?
Oh, we were just having that conversation as far as the scheduling of Washington. Of course, their head coach, Chris Peterson, stepped in it last week with his comments or complaints about playing football after dark.
I kind of agreed with him.
Well, though. I agree with him from a broadcast standpoint. We don't want to stay up late having to watch those ball games. But you and your broadcast partner made this arrangement, and they're paying you a hell of a lot of money. And Chris Peterson, if you don't like the time slot, you shouldn't have signed up for these ball games. He played some late ball games when he was at Boise because of the broadcasting,
he's
the media.
Tired rights of it, man.
Okay, well, give some of that money back because that's less money for the league if they have a different time slot. And you know, you look at this back and forth now between Peterson. I guess it's more back at him. From their partner ESPN, everyone was going after him.
So Herb Street on College Game Day was just going crazy on them, you know, saying that they should be thanking ESPN for even broadcasting their games. And then
considering who they've played up to this point, especially the non-conference schedule,
right? And so speaking of that non-conference schedule, during the broadcast, the sideline reporter, whoever that was, put three actual cupcakes on the field and said, this is the non-conference schedule.
In case you were wondering who the non-conference schedule was, Montana and Fresno State.
So those three, of course, not going to, as you would say, move the needle.
No. And now you're in the conference play, and it was Cal who they whipped up on this past weekend. And, you know, we'll see what time these games start. But, you know, they already have a starting time for a couple games. Their next one is Saturday, October 14th versus Arizona State, 10:45 p.m.
So
then Eastern Stanford time, a couple weeks after that, 10:30 p.m.
Eastern time, right?
Yeah, yeah. Eastern. Yeah. Right. So they're late starts, and they signed up for that football after dark. And if they get a different time slot, that's less money for the conference. So not only were, you know, the media partners upset, but those in the Pac-12 office, commissioner's office, they were upset and taken aback by these comments, because Chris Peterson, hey man, if you didn't want to play during this time slot, you shouldn't have taken the gig. Now, that being said, I tried to stay up late and watch Stanford and Utah.
Can't do it.
And I recorded it and watched the rest of it yesterday morning. And a good win for Stanford on the road, but the games are so damn late. You know, unless you are out partying, or there's a game on, or they have it on, you know, that's the only way you're going to stay up and watch those damn games.
If you're out partying.
If you're out partying, having to glance up. Yeah. Hold on, girl. Yeah. Wait. Stanford on the goal line.
Right. You're Chris Forrest there, and you got something that's going to keep you up.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Yeah, we'll get to that one.
Mark is in Minnesota on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Love the show, guys.
Thanks, Mark. What's up?
I just want to know where you guys would rank the Wisconsin Badgers defense in the Big Ten, I guess, or in college football, and listen to your response, and go Packers.
Oh, man.
Get out of here, Mark. Don't you ever call the show again, man.
you're in Minnesota, Mark, for crying out loud.
Packers.
Yeah, seriously. Well, there was only one game that Wisconsin gave up a whole ton of points, and that was, well, not a ton, but it was 24 to Northwestern.
Right.
Only 17 in Nebraska on Saturday. They are 5-0 at this juncture.
No one had scored on them in the second half until that game versus Northwestern. So this is another good defense. You have a new DC. Justin Wilcox is now.
Every year, because Aranda left, right?
Right.
And then Wilcox left.
Aranda's at LSU. Wilcox is at Cal. And now you have Jim Leonard. First time being a defensive coordinator, and he'd only been there a year on the staff. And so thus far, they're playing pretty well. Of course, they lost a linebacker who's going to be a big part of this D at the beginning of the season. So where do they rank? The way Ohio State's playing right now, and Penn State's defense should have had a shutout the other day versus Northwestern, and they didn't get it on the road, but still a 31-7 victory. I would put them right there in that number. They play some damn good defense. So they're right there with Michigan, who has an excellent defense. So, yeah, they're one of the top defenses in the conference. But you got to look at Penn State. You have to look at Michigan and Ohio State and how they're playing. And even Michigan State. I mean, there's some good damn defense being played in the Big Ten. And everyone always talks about the SEC and how they play defense. Look at the scores these offenses are posting in the SEC. So I don't want to hear anything about, no, you're the only conference that plays defense. Bull dookie.
And I will preface these comments that, you know, I love Paul Chryst, and he's one of my favorite guys in
That's
sports.
Your guy.
But this is not the first time that Paul Chryst went and promoted a guy who was never a defensive coordinator to defensive coordinator, and it didn't work out the first time. When he was at Pitt, he promoted Matt House, who was the D-backs coach, to defensive coordinator, and it was a disaster. It just really didn't work out. He seemed like he was in over his head. So the fact that Paul Chryst said, all right, I'm going to do the same thing again. It's a different guy, different situation. I have faith, and didn't think about the situation back with Matt House at Pitt is a credit to him. And that's not an easy thing to do, to be a guy who is never been a coordinator, right, and then thrust into this high level of college football. So whiskey all the way, man. Let's go.
It's working. It's working for them, Mark. I believe that's your name. Don't you call it again with that damn Go Packers stuff. You kidding me?
Yeah, I know.
Really?
You're not going to find a lot of Packers love here on this particular program.
Nah, they're our daddy, or Aaron Rodgers is. So,
well, the Vikings' father, too.
Yeah. Oh, they get around. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're the Aaron Rodgers is the Antonio Cromartie of the NFL. He's got many, many children.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was another. That is so.
I mean, he does. I mean, think about it.
It just hit me. Okay.
Bears.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a lot of
Lions.
A lot of babies.
Vikings.
Spreading that seed.
Cowboys. There's a lot of them there.
And speaking of the defenses, I mean, Ohio State is playing so good right now. And I apologize to you, because you and I, when we were doing our picks, like, come on, Maryland, 31 points. No way, right? No way. Maryland's going to show up even with Bortenschlager, the third string quarterback. They'll be fine.
Nope.
Come on.
Nope.
Was it 62?
Yeah, I think it was 0-3 in college, and then 2-1 in the NFL. So 2-4.
I have no.
That was so bad.
Remember who I picked? But,
so much other stuff. I don't even care.
Yeah, but Ohio State.
It wasn't good. I know it was 0-3 in college.
Ohio State's looking like they look like one of the best teams in the nation right now. The way they're playing defense, the way JT Barrett is running this offense, they're finally healthy at the running back position, and they just defensively look tremendous. So it's going to be a great year. Of course, Penn State now has a bye. Then they have Michigan. Then they go to the Horseshoe to take on Ohio State. So a lot of great games left. Alabama, we mentioned Nick Saban going off after the A&M game. And A&M veiled themselves pretty nicely. I still don't believe the score is indicative of how well Alabama controlled that football game. But to just be a one-score deficit for the Aggies. A lot of people weren't expecting them to play them so close, but they had a number three and outs, and that's what got Nick Saban all upset, and then he blamed it on the media.
That's right. Well, you led us right into it perfectly, because I was going to play this audio, and Nick Saban, when he's angry, is always going to show up on Gio and Jones. So here you go.
I'm trying to get our players to listen to me instead of listening to you guys. You know, all that stuff you write about how good we are and all that stuff they hear on ESPN, it's like poison. You know what I mean? It's like taking poison, like rat poison. All right, so I'm asking them, are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys about how good you are?
Well, okay. Y'all stink. You suck. Alabama, you're the worst team on the planet, okay? You're pitiful. You shouldn't even play football anymore. How about you drop your program? Let's eliminate that program right now, today. We're going to cancel all the rest of your schedule. Just forfeit everything. You're done. You stink. I agree with Coach Saban. They're horrible. Like I mean, they can't block. They can't. Three and out versus that Aggies defense? You suck. Jalen Hurts. You sorry, my father. You should never play quarterback for anyone ever, ever again.
Why do I feel like Nick Saban, if everybody said that Clemson was 10 times better than Alabama, would have a rant, though, about how they're better than them? We, you know, we get disrespected by you guys. I mean, we've only done this, and this, and you're telling us that we're the second-best team in the country? I mean, it just seems there's always going to be something. He's always going to have a cantankerous reaction to the media. But I don't think that it's an automatic response from a team if they hear or read good things about them that they're all of a sudden going to get fat and happy. I mean, if anything, that should be able to motivate you, be like, wow, we can do something special here. And when people commit to Alabama, they expect to be good.
Right.
They don't expect to be bad. I think where this is more of a pothole for a team is one that hasn't experienced success before. And then starts really getting into this. Man, we're the first ones to do this. Look at what they're saying about us. This is awesome. We're going to turn things. With Alabama, this is just par for the course. Everybody says you're great every year.
And you expect to be great. You're spot on. And the players there, the upperclassmen, they expect you to live up to those expectations. They know the drill. Their players come in there, and those upperclassmen, they're the one that make sure the younger guys are following the straight and narrow, except for, you know, every now and then they get to hang out with Brandon Chicken. But, I mean, you know what the deal is when you go to Alabama. They're going to work you hard. They're going to develop you, and you're going to be a damn good football team. You're not sitting there patting yourself on the back. And if you do, those upperclassmen make sure that you get back in line real quick. So this is – Coach Saban can tell us why he decided to take this route, but you're not going to go in there getting the big head. We always talk about don't get soft with success. Well, this is one of the teams that doesn't do that because each and every year they're in the hunt for a national title.
Do you hate the fact that Oklahoma lost right before they played Texas?
I love any time Oklahoma loses. But I sort of do, because this is just going to piss them off even more as they get ready for the Red River rivalry.
When you could have beaten them with them being an undefeated team, too.
We take it any way we can get it. You beat them undefeated.
But it's sweeter if you're the team that knocks them out of them.
Of course it is. It's always sweeter. But, you know, for the fact that now, you know, they limp into this with that one loss. But they have played. They haven't played great defensively their last two times out, so maybe they can keep that trend going.
It's an understatement.
And Texas didn't look great defensively after looking marvelous since that Maryland debacle. Looked terrible the other night, going up against a team that shouldn't have been able to pass on them, but they had wide receivers open time and time again, going up against that Texas defense. They go into overtime, and Texas finds a way to win. And I think they've settled on their quarterback. Sam Ellinger is going to be the guy. He's a tough runner, running through K-State defenders the other night. Yes, there were passes here and there where he looked like a freshman quarterback, which he is, true freshman. But he was lights out, almost 500 yards of total offense by that young man, over 100 yards rushing, 380 passing. He's the quarterback. You got to give the keys to this offense to him because he's a tough son of a gun. And that was a good win, 40-34 in overtime versus K-State. Need to find a damn kicker. God, rolling the – Rowling, whatever the hell your name is. See, that's what happens when you can't kick. They don't even know your name. That was a good win for Texas. TCU, big win. Against West
Didn't
Virginia.
Cover.
Another tight one there. And then LSU, you know, 17-16. Speaking of kicking, you got the holder there, extra point. Spins the ball, and the ball falls away from the finger, and you get the missed extra point. But a big win for LSU after that showing versus Troy. Looked like a different team, more passion, more energy. They were much physical up front. And that was a good win for them. And then we'll have Auburn and LSU this week on CBS. And that should be a damn good one. Should be a good one.
Bloodbath.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
Way Auburn's playing right now?
Bloodbath.
They look good. Who they just beat? Ole Miss. Yeah, beat up on Ole Miss this week.
Auburn's just better.
Better defense they'll be facing. That unit there for Florida is banged up. And better offense they're facing because Felipe Franks couldn't get anything really going. And so you got the running game to deal with, and you have a quarterback who can actually hit wide receivers in the numbers.
Coming up next, an Andrew Bogus update, some anthem talk, which everybody loves, and then Calais Campbell. Live this morning after a big win for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're coming right back.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Because his dad had so much success. It's like following in that footsteps.
Uh-huh.
It's and he's not LeBron.
Yes, he
not
is,
what you told
man.
Me on Friday, man.
Don't discount your pop.
Maybe Joe Dumars.
It's like that's being not, Joe Dumars.
Not bad.
But not the executive Joe Dumars, the player Joe Dumars.
Just right. Very tough to follow in those footsteps. Be like, oh, here comes another Bisaglia.
Mm. So, can he live up to the hype?
Pete, you want to put the pod all the way down so we're not hearing any bit of the music?
It's down.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
Have we checked Mr. Bisaglia's Twitter timeline?
No.
We haven't, right?
No, not recently. That was an interesting day when I found it. He was like a troll.
Yeah,
it's funny, though. He tweeted Howard Stern, and Stern called him.
What?
He really did. He called him. He was asking and soliciting for calls. I forget which holiday, and Howard called.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I actually do remember.
He actually did call.
Wow. Did he know your dad because he was so,
did not,
like, radio station
stuff? But they may have talked about some common connections.
Wow, that's pretty cool. How about that?
I don't believe that.
No, I remember that bit. Like, he...
Right, but you can't confirm that actual Howard Stern called him.
I believe it, because I remember him talking about that on the show. I do believe that. It's pretty
Bisaglia.
Good.
Bisaglia.
I want to make something like
Wait,
that
Howard
up.
Stern on the show talked about this?
Yeah.
Oh, that... Okay, never mind, Mike.
You know, not our show. His own, Andrew.
Well, anyway. Hey, Brian, we're back.
What are you doing here in this building?
Good question. All right, so...
Where's the dude to say white guy conversation?
This wasn't a white guy conversation. It was just boring. It had nothing to do with being white.
It was my fault.
No, it was mostly mine. Don't
so your daddy
blame.
Called Stern, or Stern called your daddy.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah. Calais Campbell.
Was that?
That is. Yeah, right. Thank you. That's what I was looking for.
Calais Campbell in 5 minutes. Andrew Bogus right now.
Boys, Greg Bird homered in game 3 of the ALDS last night in the Bronx. Francisco Lindor did not.
And the pitch swung on and hit in the air to right field. Judge going back. He's on the track. He's near the wall, and he makes the catch. In fact, he stole a home run from Lindor.
That's John Sterling.
Good for John. I thought that he was going to say that it was a home run.
Imagine my disappointment. I couldn't wait to hit play this morning when I came in, and he was right on it.
For those who don't know, John Sterling, who has had an amazing career, his eyesight not what it used to be. And on situations like that, where it could be a catch, it could be a home run, probably 80% of the time he gets it wrong.
Right. So, This could have been a pop up the second that became Judge at the wall jumping.
Yeah, he does a great job. He's an Iron Man. He's a legend.
Like, what is he, 78?
Which is amazing.
And does
that he
all
is.
Nine innings.
Right. Every game. He doesn't
Every
miss
game.
A game.
Never
he
miss
doesn't
a game.
Miss a game. Yeah. But he does have issues with sometimes the depth perception.
So Judge's play last night kept the game scoreless in the sixth. In the seventh, Bird took former Yankee Andrew Miller deep for the only run of the night. Masahiro Tanaka allowed just three hits with a walk while King 7-7. Aroldis Chapman got the final five outs, forcing game four tonight at 7 Eastern. Cleveland will start Trevor Bauer on short rest.
I consider this normal rest for me. I enjoy pitching on short, I guess, what technical definition of short, but if I could draw it up personally, this is how I'd pitch every time. So, I'm feeling very confident where I'm at.
I believe that's Coop in the background. Yeah,
Ten toss swing.
Yeah, hit him!
Josh Tomlin was the scheduled starter for Cleveland. Bauer did not allow a run while striking out 8 Yankees over 6 2/3 back in Game 1. The Astros did not close out the Red Sox yesterday afternoon, so they'll play again at Fenway 108 Eastern today. Game 3 for the Cubs and Nats in Chicago at 4, and Game 3 for the Dodgers and Diamondbacks in Arizona at 10. Texans star J.J. Watt suffered a tibial plateau fracture in his left leg. He's out indefinitely for now. Linebacker Whitney Mercilus reportedly done for the season with a torn pec. Both hurt on Sunday Night Football with the Chiefs. KC led that one 23-7 at halftime, but Houston got within 6 in the fourth.
Hill will take it at the 18. First man misses. Going to the right side, needs a block. Gets by that guy at the 30. Look out, 40-yard line. Tyreek Hill midfield. Catch it back right. 35-30, 25-20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Kansas City!
Mitch Holt is on Chiefs Radio, 82-yard punt return touchdown for Tyreek Hill. Alex Smith added 3 touchdown passes in the 42-34 victory, which improves KC to 5-0. Back on the injury front, Giants wideout Odell Beckham Jr. broke his left ankle in a 27-22 home loss to the Chargers yesterday. Surgery is likely, but Beckham is seeking a second opinion first. Vikings QB Sam Bradford expected to return tonight in Chicago after missing 3 games with a left knee injury. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver said yesterday in Shanghai, where the Warriors and T-Wolves are playing preseason games, the league is still considering seeding playoff teams just 1 through 16, but that would take overhauling the schedule so teams play each other an equal amount of time over the season. And finally,
my glutes are shutting off.
Martin Truex Jr. won the NASCAR race in Charlotte, clinching his spot in the next round of the postseason. That should have been NASCAR sounds, and then this.
My glutes are shutting off.
Because Kyle Busch's whole body was shutting off, dealt with overheating and raised carbon monoxide levels. 45 minutes in the infield health center.
Didn't I pick
after
him?
That race?
Didn't I pick him on Friday?
And you almost killed
him. You did. You picked Busch.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
And he gets carbon monoxide poisoning?
Yep.
I mean, you pick guys. You got to go back to reading that thing, man. Because you pick guys that win, I pick guys that get carbon monoxide points.
But didn't you pick somebody that was like?
Yeah, but that was second. That was my sleeper pick.
Oh, you picked the dude who was in the Infinity.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, just because I liked his name.
Is he okay? Did we check to make sure he's safe?
He wasn't allowed to track this weekend.
But I just had to pick some unknown dude to do well.
Kiss of death.
Yeah, really, that's really bad. I mean, this could be the worst evidence of it all. The only time that I've ever done... Well, I did it a couple other times in the past, but the first time I've done it all year.
Yeah, solely you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys...
Good job.
No,
you got it again.
No, I'm not doing it. These poor guys are going
to... I'm boycotting Richard Petty and Richard Childress, man.
So you're boycotting.
Yeah.
You don't even watch racing anymore?
I may sneak a peek.
So you're like the NFL fans that are boycotting the NFL because of the anthem protests, right?
I sneak a peek. It's too much football to watch.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah, and yesterday it was football and baseball, man.
I don't want to start down the anthem road right now as we wait for Calais Campbell because there's a lot to dissect with that. So we will save that coming up.
Save Jerry Jones. Listen, anybody disrespects him, flag, they're going to be off my plantation. What'd he say? There it is. We started it.
No, you started it. I just said it. I teased it, so I want to make sure that the listeners know.
Oh, I was teasing, too.
We will get to it.
That was a tease?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But Calais Campbell, we're confident he's going to call, right, Mike? So I don't have
to. Sure, we are.
All right. We're confident?
Yeah, I'm confident in this one.
Yeah. Right, ring.
Yeah, so, okay.
Right there.
So in the meantime.
I wonder, my first question, are you more ecstatic about Jaguars winning or your Hurricanes winning?
Well,
because that Miami deal, that's huge, man.
Do you want the first question?
Why not?
All right, sure.
Yeah.
Well, here he is.
Yo, Calais. What's happening, dog?
He is Calais Campbell.
We got Calais Campbell.
And he's on the Jaguars now, and they had a huge win at Heinz Field yesterday. Calais, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Man, life is good right now, man. Just still celebrating the win a little bit. I guess feeling good about the win. I'm away into the facility. Grade the tape and then move on.
Cool. Now, were you more excited about your win on the road there at Pittsburgh or your Hurricanes finally knocking off Florida State?
Ooh-wee, man, that one felt pretty good. I ain't going to lie to you. Miami, it's been a long time coming. We should have won the last couple of years, but I don't know what it was. But it feels good to finally get one. You know, that's a tough one to choose from because I love every time we win, but I expect to win. You know, I expect Miami to win too. So they both are quality wins.
How did you make Ben Roethlisberger play so horribly yesterday?
I think we had a great game plan. You took your head off to Coach Walsh. He's a great D coordinator, and he put together an extremely great game plan. And then with the talent we have, when guys just do what they're supposed to do, you know, you don't have to take turns making plays. And our secondary, I mean, they had a field day.
Well, give me something specific, though, just for our football nuts out there. Because, I mean, obviously he came with a great game plan and confused them, and he was terrible. There's a lot of bad throws. But was there something that you guys saw during the week that you felt like you could exploit and then did?
Honestly, I think, we switched up a little bit what we do, but not crazy. You know, I mean, we just put a little more zone because the receivers are so good and so fast. And I think, some of those zone windows, you know, I don't think Russ put it that our DBs are as explosive and as fast as they were.
Calais, what attracted you to the Jacksonville Jaguars? You had a ton of success there at Arizona, and yet you go to a team that had been mired in futility. So what was the big draw?
I think at the end of the day, it was just the talent, around me. You know, I seen the young D-line that was very, very gifted. And then I seen the secondary, I had a pretty good idea that, Boye and Church were going to be, head of the Jacksonville as well. So that factored into the decision. I just feel like there was the team was trending in the right direction. Even last year, they played eight games that were decided by a touchdown or less. That could have went either way, the team was trending in the right direction.
Gio and Jones with Calais Campbell of the Jacksonville Jaguars' big win yesterday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. How much easier is your job when you have guys like A.J. Boye and Ramsey out there and you can trust them on just about any play?
Oh, way easier. They make, especially when it comes to rushing the passer, they give you extra half a second. You know, the extra half a second is usually a difference between a quarterback hit, a quarterback pressure, or a sack. You know, and so, the stats that we've been able to accomplish as a defensive line, definitely take your hand off to our secondary. They've done a good job.
Going back to the success you've enjoyed, how do you keep this team? I know you're sitting there at 3-2, so of course you can't think that, hey, we've arrived, but how do you keep the team with a bunch of young potential superstars at even keel? You got Fournette who goes off. You just mentioned the young guys on the defensive side of the ball. So how do you keep them, rowing that proverbial boat and hey, we haven't arrived yet, guys?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty common. You guys know, that we have to show consistency. You know, we have yet to win two games back-to-back. And in the NFL, you have to be able to stack wins in order to be a good team. So we have a lot that we're working towards still, a lot of motivation to drive us. So we should be just fine.
Yeah, I mean, how does a team that kicks the piss out of the Ravens and the Steelers lose to the Jets?
We didn't execute that day, it's kind of football. Every team is so evenly matched. If you don't go out there and play a good game plan, if you don't execute your game plan, you can lose to anybody, And
that's got
to
be annoying, though, man. As well as you guys have played, are you still looking back on that film going, man, I mean, that's a difference between 4-1 and 3-2. We're one of the talks of the NFL as opposed to that team that has the inconsistency label.
Yeah, it might have been good for us to happen that early because I think it's going to allow us to, stay more focused going forward, understanding that, when we do it right, that's when we're successful. We can't just show up and win. Not that we just showed up there. We played, our hearts out, but it's about being disciplined through the assignment. You go out there with our talent, we're going to make plays and be in ball games. But if we want to win games, we have to execute.
So how would you compare and contrast your former coach, Bruce Arians, out there in the desert with your current coach, Doug Marrone?
I've said it a couple of times, they're cut from the same cloth. You know, they have the same kind of mentality. You know, everything's about is what can we do to win? Game plan, understand the scenarios, understanding, you know, the situations that we're going to face in the ball game and what we're going to need to be successful against each team.
Deion Jones with Calais Campbell. How often do you see Tom Coughlin? Because I picture him as like the old grandfather that lives upstairs that you don't want to disappoint. You know, and like when you see him, you know you might have screwed up.
No, he comes in out of meetings sometimes. He sits in the back. You know, he's always around. You know, you can tell he loves the game. He just wants to be close to it.
So take everyone through your schedule. You'll go in, you'll get in the facility, you'll look at the game, you'll get maybe get a light lift in, some treatment if you need it. Then you're off tomorrow. Then it's on to installation for the Rams Wednesday?
Yep, just like that.
Oh, look, wow, amazing. Look at you, Brian. You knew his damn schedule.
Damn. Well, nothing changes.
What's going to happen next year for Clay?
Let's see. Now, my Mondays include a massage. You go see the chiropractor.
Yeah.
And then go find some fun.
Well, listen, after a win like that, there's a lot of fun to be found. Clay, thanks for the time this morning. Congrats on the win. Best of luck the rest of the way.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. That's Calais Campbell of the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a great win for them, man.
Mondays are great when you get a win like that, man. You go in there, the aches don't hurt as much as they normally would. And your film session, you're sitting in there, and you're like, psh, this is going to be cool. Coach not calling you out for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll run through that, and then you got to put it in the back of your mind. That one's over. It's on to the next one.
All right, coming up next, we will talk some of the Anthem stuff from yesterday, as you thought that maybe it was dying down a little bit. Well, a whole new chapter was written yesterday. We're coming right back.
Keep up with the latest on the show on Twitter at Gio and Jones.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
In Indianapolis, they were honoring Peyton Manning, and there was some old teammates that were coming back before the Colts 49ers game. And also there was Mike Pence, who of course knows that state.
He former
was,
governor.
Right. He was up in the box. And the 49ers have been probably the most committed to the anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate saying anthem protest.
Because it's not an anthem protest.
Right. Right, but the protests during the national anthem.
Right.
I should put it that way. So Mike Pence was there. There was a tweet, a picture of him from 3 years ago that was tweeted out saying, you know, can't wait to see Peyton Manning here. He had his Colts hat on, all of that. And then a big press release comes out after the 49ers do their thing in kneeling, saying that, you know, I stand with President Trump. We had a conversation about if this is going to happen, I'm going to leave. And he said, while everyone is entitled to their own opinions, I don't think it's too much to ask NFL players to respect the flag and our national anthem. I stand with Trump. I stand with our soldiers. We'll always stand for our flag and our national anthem. So, you know, this now gets ratcheted up
again. Here we go once again, wrapping yourself in the flag, making this about the soldiers, not about disrespecting soldiers, not about disrespecting the flag. It's not about disrespecting the anthem. This is another way to deflect what the real issue is, and that's all he's doing. It was a publicity stunt for Pence, and that's it. Flew from the West Coast all the way to Indianapolis, then flew back to the West Coast. This was a straight-up PR stunt, and all those folks who keep deriding these athletes, oh, they're ungrateful millionaires, as if those jobs were given to them, they were handed out to them. How are they ungrateful? Supposed to just be blind to anything that's happening in larger society just because you happen to play a game which pays pretty well. If you're poor, you're the only ones who can get out and protest. I mean, this is just a dumb argument by those who don't want to see the perspective from which these players are coming from. And here's another example. No one's disrespecting military. No one's disrespecting the flag. And for this dude to wrap himself in the flag. Now he's ultra patriotic. That's a bunch of bull duke, and he knows it. Get the out of here with that bull.
I mean, this is now just going around and around and nothing will ever
change because there's always been a double standard in this country, and there always will be a double standard in this country when it comes to the racial divide. Always will be. There will be certain folks, you know, if these guys were out there with their tiki torches marching through Charlottesville, what would you be saying? You know, they're not. And they're not disrespecting the damn anthem, the flag, nor the military. Some of these guys have lost loved ones in our military. And all these cats want to talk about disrespecting the military. What happened to those dudes who went and fought for liberation in Europe, black folks, and then came back here and still had to use the back door, still had to sit at the back of the bus, still spat on, dog-sicked on them? You weren't worried about the damn military then. You know, those who fought during the Civil War. What happened? Were they disrespected when they fought for the North and still had to live under Jim Crow? Were they disrespected? You don't want to bring up that history, do you? So sick of this bull argument that people would hide behind. And they know it's not about the damn flag. They know it's not about the anthem. They know it's not about disrespecting our military. But that's the cover they choose to use.
Well, yeah, that's the thing where it makes it harder to argue when you put that out in front because, I mean, and that's – it's being used in the wrong way. And also, Mike Pence does not have a great history of equal rights, too, for everybody. If you look, you check back and what he's done, he's hid behind the Bible to basically, you know, tell people who are not straight that they're not equal.
So pray to gay at you.
So, I mean, that's
whatever.
Those are the facts. So, I mean, it's funny what some people decide is okay and what they don't. And unfortunately, this is the situation that we're in. Jerry Jones, who spoke to President Trump, has now said that if he has a player on his team that does not stand for the national anthem, he will not play in that game. So that puts his players and his black players, his famous and star black players, in a, you know, a really, really tough spot. But, I mean, I don't expect anybody to disobey Jerry Jones in this particular instance, but I'd love to see what would happen if Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott took a knee.
Yeah.
I'd love to see. I mean, this is a guy who's given, you know, flat-out criminals jobs and has not cared about what they've done in the past in order to win a football game. And is he going to do the same thing if a guy takes a knee for the national anthem, or is he going to stick by that? I'd love to see that.
I'd love to find out as well. I'd love for one of them to do that. And Dak Prescott has been on the record as saying, well, the Grand Bertha in the White House can say whatever he wants, and that's the right. And these players should be able to protest in the manner in which they choose to protest. And so, you know, it's a private entity. That's a private team, and if that's part of your workplace rules, say that. But the NFL does not mandate that you stand during the national anthem. And once again, we were never even out there for the national anthem when I played in the league. The Department of Defense paid the NFL to have the players out there. And that's why over the last 6, 7, 8 years, they've been out there for the national anthem.
And it's interesting you bring that up because in the rule book, there is something that says, you know, the players must stand at attention for the national anthem. But the NFL's come out after that and said that they're not going to enforce this. And they are with the players being able to express themselves. It's just, you know, it's just one of these diversions now that it's an unhealthy diversion. Is what this is. I mean, there's so many things that we could be spending energy on and talking about, trying to fix, all of us, not just people of power. And now we're going around and around with this stuff. And, you know, basically what I've seen many times from a playbook is, let's make a big deal out of this thing to get people talking, and then we can do whatever we want behind the scenes and nobody pays attention to it.
And that's what happens and has been happening throughout our history. When we have issues like this, you deflect. And you point towards something else instead of sitting there and addressing the real issue that is the main reason for the discussion. And so that happens all the damn time. And so we're never going to get past this perceived disrespecting of the military and the flag when there are many in the military who are on the side with Colin Kaepernick. You had it right here. Many in law enforcement here with Colin Kaepernick. I mean, it's just amazing that, you know, we can't see the forest for the trees. And I'm not surprised. Throughout our history, that's what has happened. You sit there and you denigrate and demonize those who are fighting for equality, whether it was Marcus Garvey, whether it was Malcolm X. Now, oh, the Black Lives Matter movement, they're terrorists. How many churches have they bombed? How many lynches have they been a part of? You know, but that's what you get from the other side, because they don't want to deal with the real issue.
Jason LaConfora, who we've had on this show many times, had a report on the NFL today talking about Colin Kaepernick that somehow, I mean, I was just so confused about, because then there were reports about the report, and then there were denials about
confused.
This. And I was,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what in the hell came out of this thing. But basically, so James Brown introduces Jason LaConfora on the NFL today and says that Jason LaConfora had sat down, sat down for an extended period of time with Colin Kaepernick, which was not the case. Apparently, he ran into him in a hotel lobby somewhere and had this conversation with him. But I guess what came out of this was, you know, he does want to work out for teams. He does want to play. And also he would stand during the anthem, which is something that he said before. Now, apparently that was Jason LaConfora was not part of his new report that he had when he spoke to Colin Kaepernick, but rather he was using what Adam Schefter said months ago when
right.
he said, if I sign for a team, then I'll stand for the anthem. So it wasn't part of this new thing. But here's one thing that, I mean, I believe that Colin Kaepernick should be in the league. I believe he wants to play. I don't believe that he's asking for a whole boatload of money. I don't think that he's not being signed because he wants to start and he wants money. However, the whole message of where he's coming from gets lost when we're hearing it from Jason LaConfora in a hotel lobby or his girlfriend on Twitter. You know, that's one thing I'd like to hear is Colin Kaepernick state these things so these people can stop making excuses for why he's not in the league.
They're not going to stop making excuses, no matter what he
It'll
says.
It'll help, though.
It's not going to help, G. They've had their mind made up. We know he wants to play. We know he can still play.
It makes it easier for them to have those arguments when you don't hear it from him.
He wants to play, and he went and met with the Seattle Seahawks prior to the season. And you know he wants to play, and that's
I know he wants to play. I want everybody else to.
They know he wants to play. They just don't want him to play. And they're going to come up with every damn. What excuses did you? Oh, he can't read a defense. Oh, he can't do that. Oh, so what? He threw 16 touchdowns and only had 4 interceptions. Look at his record as a starting quarterback.
I'd like to hear from him. I would, because I just at this point it's impossible. I mean, to decipher what's what. It's just very. I don't know. This is turning into now one of these stories that just flat out bums me out now, you know? It really does. It bums me out.
It doesn't mean, because if you know our history, it's just repeating itself. This is what happens, and it's always been an arduous task. It's always been difficult and tough to fight for equality, and some don't see it. They can't see it from my black eyes. They can't see it from the other black person's perspective, but it's our reality, and we'll deal with it, and we won't give up.
Coming up next, Joe Theismann is going to join us to talk about Week 5 in the NFL and another unbelievable performance, even though it wasn't a loss, from Deshaun Watson, who is a superstar in the making.
How about Cam?
And Cam is back in a big way. Gio and Jones coming right back, CBS Sports Radio.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.